We're back on Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. Thomas Gradle is the co-author of the book Corrupt Illinois, Patronage, Cronyism, and Criminality. He and a team of researchers from the University of Illinois Chicago recently dug into statistics from an annual Department of Justice report and concluded that between 1976 and 2018, Chicago was the most corrupt city in the nation. Illinois was almost as bad, ending up third after the state of Louisiana and the District of Columbia. Our reporter Maureen McKinney talked with Gradle, a retired political consultant and journalist, about their findings, which were rounded out by information collected from the Cook County State's Attorney, Inspectors General, and local governments. They also considered news reports of corruption cases.
Why is there so much corruption in Chicago and Illinois as a whole?
I believe it's the culture, and I believe there are numerous factors for that culture. Chicago's political machine lasted longer than the political machines in most of the big cities, New York, Minneapolis, Detroit, Los Angeles. And that's primarily because the old Mayor Daley, Richard J. Daley, was really an expert at maintaining the machine, warding off trouble, keeping the people's attention on other things, and not allowing or not creating a situation where reformers, and especially in other big cities, reformers were backed by business community and religious communities who pushed for reform. That push never really materialized in Chicago. And I think Chicago's behavior was contagious and is copied by other locales in the state. Many of the convictions over the years also involved Republicans and involved state government. So Chicago's behavior was learned, you know, exported. It was contagious, and it was copied by many other localities. And we did a report, I don't know how many years ago it was now, on corruption in the suburbs in the Chicago metropolitan area. And there was quite a bit of it. When we started doing it, I didn't think there was going to be that much, but we discovered quite a bit. It's not only the longevity and the successful operation of the Cook County Democratic machine. There are two other factors that I think are really important. One is the crime syndicate, the mob, or which is known in the Chicago area as the Outfit, very much mirrored, and there was a symbiotic relationship between organized crime and political. I could tell you a lot of stories about old Big Bill Thompson and Al Capone, and there was a lot of interplay between these two organizations. I don't have any evidence that they, you know, sat down and planned things together, or there was a signed agreement that they were going to stay out of each other's way. But the evidence suggests that is the case. The third factor that I think caused Chicago to be, the corruption to be so prevalent and persistent over the years, is I think that the racial situation in Chicago was such that the Democratic machine, especially led by the old Richard J. Daley, was seen as a bulwark against the emergence of African-American and the African-Americans' political power growth and also their business growth. And I think the white population, not everybody, of course, but the large amounts of the white population in Chicago was perfectly happy with whatever Richard J. Daley did, as long as he was keeping the blacks down. Therefore, I think that discouraged people from going after Richard J. Daley on the corruption angles and gave him a lot of leeway. Well, he's doing good work. I can't prove that, but there's evidence that that's what happened and why it happened. I can't get into people's minds about what motivated them. And of course, people don't write about They don't write down that, you know, I wanted to keep the blacks out of my neighborhood. I wanted to keep the blacks out of the electing politicians. And I think if you read what happened over time, I think that's a valid conclusion.
Let's talk about the most interesting cases in the city and the state in 2018?
Well, of course, the most interesting thing was the raid on Alderman Edward Burke's Finance Committee headquarters in City Hall, and also his ward office. That revealed that he had been under investigation for, I believe it was 2 years prior to that, and subsequently found out that Alderman Danny Solis had been investigated by the FBI and agreed to cooperate, wore a concealed recording device and recorded conversations with Alderman Burke over a long period of time, and possibly included information and activities about other politicians and other aides and campaign workers for other politicians. So the suggestion by the information that has come out and the search warrants and documents that have been filed, the suggestion is that the investigation is widespread, not only widespread across the surface, but deep down into political organizations. And we expect that there will be many more convictions in the next 2 or 3 years. The other investigations that involve State Senator Martin Sandoval, who has since pled guilty and is cooperating with the federal prosecutors, and also an investigation involving the Teamsters, business operations involving a movie studio in Chicago. There's an organization called Sinscape on the southwest side of Chicago. It got some state grants in order to develop. They bought in a lot of business. There's a lot of filming that takes place in Chicago that didn't previously, and much of it was done through that organization. They were paying off, many of their employees are members of the Teamsters. They were paying off John Coley, who was the head of the Teamsters council in Chicago, which involved more than just he was getting paid off by the movie studio. The head of the movie studio was investigated. He then implicated the Teamsters boss John Coley, who has since pled guilty but is cooperating with the federal investigators. He's important because he was the key Teamster involved in political endorsements in Illinois, and had endorsed Mayor Rahm Emanuel. He endorsed and worked with former Governor Pat Quinn, and he's also the one that hired State Senator Tom Cullerton for essentially a ghost job. He didn't have to do anything. In fact, their investigation showed that he did very little work, had almost no evidence of doing any work for the Teamsters, but got a couple $100,000 for not doing any work. These investigations are still ongoing. The expectations are that they will reveal a lot more corruption and other people will be indicted and prosecuted. These investigations are based on the documents that have been already made public, are very widespread. There's one investigation involved some policemen who were, working with drug sellers and drug dealers and planning the information and getting false search warrants, telling the judges that they got information that required this investigation to take place. And then they would do the investigation and they would steal some of the evidence, sell it or put it back on the street. Most of the previous cases of that were on a larger scale, but still, this is still going on. It still takes place. There's a whole culture in Chicago, in the police department, but especially in most of the government, that workers keep their head down, keep their nose out of other people's business, and don't rat on other people. So a lot of corruption that normally, in a private business or other institutions would get dealt with, doesn't get dealt with in Chicago because of this code of silence.
You envision more convictions down the road?
Yes, I believe there will be quite a few. I mean, in the range of half a dozen to a dozen more people indicted. I mean, there are others that we didn't mention that have taken place. The benefits he got has Solis and Sandoval involve numerous red light camera deals and bribery. The investigation may even go into the activities of Commonwealth Edison and how they have hired political operatives to be lobbyists and whether or not they were actually doing lobbying or whether or not those jobs were payoffs for activity that politicians and the political operatives did on behalf of Commonwealth Edison. All of these things are suggested by the documents that have already been filed, but they have yet to actually result in indictments or convictions. One of the things that you learn when you're studying these political crimes that are investigated by the federal government, they take a long time to pin down all of the aspects of the case. And part of that is the federal prosecutors do not like to lose cases. Their conviction rate is extremely high. So they don't really move on things and rush them to an end until they're sure they're going to get the conviction. And that they've tied down all the other loose ends. Other people involved are investigated, indicted, and convicted before they close on the bigger fish.
Do you have any ideas on what can be done?
There needs to be a more serious effort by, I think, the state government. One of the big things that comes up in all of these investigations is people abusing campaign funds and the prevalence of large contributions going into campaign funds and politicians building up large campaign funds, even though they don't need it for their next race or the one after that, and how they use that money to augment their political power, not just for the campaign that you know is upcoming. I think the state ought to hire, first of all, the State Department that keeps the campaign financing records has very little investigative or prosecutorial powers. I think they ought to have a team of auditors, campaign financing reports, seriously go after people that abuse it, and you won't see these situations where there's been campaign financing abuse for year after year after year by the same politician. And nobody's done anything about it until the federal government catches up with them, and prosecutes them for something else. The other thing is inspector generals are really a good development that after the, like in the last 10 years, but inspector generals have to have more power. Their reports have to be made public. The names of people that are investigated have to be disclosed, and they need to be independent of the people that they're investigating. And we don't see that. The state executive inspector general and the state legislative inspector general are not sufficiently independent. They're not as aggressive as they should be. Those offices need to be strengthened and funded properly. I think we have a pretty good inspector general in Chicago. It's been a long time developing. I mean, the first inspector generals that I read about didn't have that title, but there were inspectors under Mayor Richard J. Daley who did very little, and nobody knew much about what they were doing. And that over the years, that office has been strengthened, and I think that needs to be done in many locales. The other thing is, I think the Illinois Attorney General needs to be able to investigate any possible corruption involving state money. If there's state money given to a public school and there's corruption going on in that public school, if the local prosecutor is not doing something about it, the Illinois Attorney General ought to be able to investigate it because there's state money involved. The public needs to push more and more on having independent, and I mean politically independent, investigations and prosecutions. It's understandable that a local prosecutor, like the state's attorney, doesn't want to investigate members of his own political party, political associates that he has to rely on for his own election. But there's no reason why the Illinois Attorney General can't do the investigations. And when they can't do those investigations, the information ought to be turned over to the federal prosecutors, because you can't have politicians refusing to investigate people of their own political party or their own crony. And that has to stop.
That's Thomas Gradle, co-author of Corrupt in Illinois, Patronage, Cronyism, and Criminality. He and his co-author Dick Simpson, along with other UIC researchers, produced a 12th look at corruption in the state and its major city by analyzing statistics from a federal Department of Justice report. You can read that full report. A link is at our website at statewideshow.com.